Matt Laughlin joins us. Matty, how you doing?
Gentlemen, I'm doing fine, and kudos to the maestro. Well, you know, well done, well played.
Now, can you, I want to go back to Tuesday afternoon. What airport were you at?
Newark Airport.
Newark Airport. And so it was the truck that's pulling out the plane. Is that who ran into the plane?
Yeah, that's what happened. Actually, we had just pulled away from, after we had boarded, we were just taxiing a little bit. Plane came to a stop. Pilot announced they had to check something. Maintenance wanted to look something over. Something didn't come up proper, so we were going to be pushed back to our waiting area, and it should just be a few minutes, and we'll be on our way. And, okay, fine, it's happened before. It's part of flying. And then maybe 20 minutes later, gentlemen, we have a little problem. And it turns out, yes, that truck that was pushing us back in clipped the nose, pushed the nose in just enough to make it less safe than you would want it to be. So after a long delay, they had to bring another plane in, and there we were sitting on the tarmac for about 5 hours. So quite frankly, the accommodations are terrific. They just kept bringing more food, and as you said, the card games were going on in the back, and the movies were on the video. So it wasn't terrible, but it was a lot longer flight than we had anticipated.
The Devils, in a tough division this year, they're struggling. They're not where they want to be. Having watched them, what's their biggest shortcoming right now as a team?
Well, I would say the biggest shortcoming is a compete level that's below last year's, and then a lack of scoring, which they thought they had addressed certainly in the Taylor Hall deal. They thought that by being a little more up-tempo even than they were last year, they could produce some goals, but it just hasn't happened. They're getting the goaltending now. They didn't get it early. And so, you know, if you look at what Ray Shiro and John Hines envisioned coming into the season, they addressed the goal-scoring need with the acquisition. And then they thought, okay, based on last year, this is what we'll get from Corey Schneider, not just last year, but his career. And we had 230 goal scorers in Adam Henrique and Kyle Palmieri. They'll score at a reasonable clip. Taylor Hall will help there. We'll change the tactics a little bit. The power play was top 10. That's good. Well, those guys aren't at 30-goal levels. Corey Schneider's well below last year's effort. The power play is near the bottom of the league. So everything that they had planned has kind of turned around on them. But the thing that's been most puzzling is that lack of compete. This was a team that was very, very hard to play against last year. They fought you tooth and nail to the end, and that just hasn't been there on a consistent basis, and that's left everybody puzzled.
I wonder, Matt, I mean, here we talk about the obvious is the Hall-Larson trade. Chemistry is a word that gets used, probably overused. But when you look through this lineup and you're scratching your head seeing this club all the time, how does that leave the room? The puck might not go in for you, or the goaltending might go south, but if you go out there and you give yourself a chance to win with effort and compete, as you say, that's not so bad. If you don't see that, that's trouble.
And that's what's annoyed the fans, quite frankly. Lately, it's been there a little bit more, even though the wins have not come. At least the games have been competitive. They may get outshot, but a lot of the shots are from the outside, and they're not as dangerous as the number would suggest. And so you can leave the building saying, hey, the team didn't win, but at least I saw an effort. And that had been missing for a big stretch in November and December. And yeah, there's not a losing team around that has a good room, so to speak. So yeah, it was a sour group. They didn't want to keep answering the questions as to the whys. And John Hines was trying to move guys around and take some time away from certain guys and send the message that way. And it would work temporarily, but not for very long. So, you know, it's very, very puzzling, because this is a team that, as I said, last year showed a lot of that. Many of the guys are back, not all. And maybe the ones who left just played that role to a T, that, you know, yard dog role that they just were like, meat on a bone. They were after it, and the rest followed. That could be it. I guess, you know, Ray and John will have to think about that as they move into the offseason as to what they'll have to do for next year on that end.
Talking New Jersey Devils with Matt Laughlin, voice of the New Jersey Devils. Matt, a few offensive guys. You know, Taylor Hall told us he feels he needs to do more offensively. You look at Zajac, Hunter, like, really, they don't have anybody going offensively. Hall missed 10 games and is still their leading scorer. He's got to get going. But outside of him, which other Devil forwards do you see as far as the biggest ones who need to step up their offensive games?
Well, I think there are two that stand out. One is Kyle Palmieri, and the other is Mike Camilleri. And, yes, Taylor's absolutely right, and he got off to a terrific start. But since the injury, he's not been the same. He says he's 100%, but he just hasn't gotten, you know, he hasn't been that dynamic of a player. Though lately, and we talked to him today, and, you know, Jason, you were there. We talked to him today about, you know, his shots have been on the upswing. He was on a pace for over 400 earlier in the year, and then that dropped off dramatically. You knew it would, but it got way too low. So lately he's been putting up those 3, 4, and 5 a night, and that's been very good to see. So, yeah, he looks like he's back. But, you know, Kyle, I don't know that the Devils necessarily acquired a 30-goal scorer. I don't know if that's what they were looking for. They were happy to get it, but I don't know if that's what they were looking for when they traded for him. I think they wanted that guy who was just, you know, full of vinegar and hard to play against. And that's disappeared at times, as I mentioned. So he needs to score more, though. He's on a pace that's something like 15 goals, and that's not enough. And Mike Camilleri has just been stymied. The numbers on the face of it don't look bad, 10 goals and 11 assists. But last year he was almost a point a game man before he got hurt. And he has just, you know, his play is just offensively anyway has slid. So those two guys need to pick it up without question.
Well, Matt, we've talked about, you know, we talked about the offense. 95 goals is not enough through 42 games. The other end of it, too, though, 124, that's too many pucks in your own net. If you don't score enough and you don't keep it out of your net enough, you get what we got here.
Yeah, it's a very good point. And what John Hines has done lately is he's changed the tactics a little bit. They're not – they wanted to play a more contemporary game, and apologize for the background noise. I'm here in the building already, and they're running through some pregame tests. But at any rate, the you know, they wanted to play a more contemporary game, and in the beginning of the year, they were able to do it. But it came against opposition that, you know, was not at the top of the league, if you look at who the Devils played through those first 18 games or so. Now, as they hit a tougher part of the schedule, it became obvious they couldn't do it. So John has reverted to a little bit more of a conservative style. But, yeah, when they were pushing the puck, they gave up a bunch, and then they just got discombobulated, and there were breakdowns in front, and Corey overplayed his hand and probably was thinking too much, and before you know it, it was just it seemed nightly the Devils were giving up 5 goals a game. So that's changed for the most part lately, and they're more back on the beam, a more conservative, low-scoring style. But, yeah, the numbers – both offensively and defensively, not nearly sufficient for playoff success. How about making the playoffs and then talk about playoff success? No.
Matt, that division with Columbus and, well, Pittsburgh and Washington specifically, the Capitals now are red hot. You throw in the Rangers. It's a very tough division. You've seen all those teams. Which one do you think is the best?
I still think Pittsburgh is the best. I think their depth is extraordinary. I think their commitment on the team speed end is amazing. I still think they are the team to beat. I think there could be something special in Washington. I think they probably have to strengthen themselves down the middle a little bit. Top two centers okay, and Backstrom and Kuznetsov. They probably need a third line guy a little better. But I think you look at what Pittsburgh can roll out. Their fourth line can score on you, and, of course, they can check effectively. The goaltending's good. The defense is a little underrated. You know, Letang makes them better, of course. But I just think their depth is going to be very difficult, and their speed, very difficult for any team to handle. But Washington could be the wild card there for sure.
On the same note, Matt, there's nobody on this show, and probably on your end of the line either, that picked the Columbus Blue Jackets to be sitting atop the Eastern Conference. And everybody's, without saying it, I think subconsciously, is they'll fall off. Well, this isn't a hot streak. This is a half a season now. They're not slowing down.
No, they're not. And as long as their goaltending remains consistent, they'll be fine. And, yeah, shame on me for not mentioning them. The Devils haven't played Columbus yet. One of the oddities of the schedule, the Devils haven't played the Islanders yet. So here we are in January, and two division rivals haven't even shown up on the schedule. So I've not seen Columbus up close, but you're right. The way John Tortorella has them going and Cam Atkinson having a whale of a year, the heaviness that they can play with, you know, Werenski is a Rookie of the Year candidate. All that's good. It comes down to Bobrovsky, but as long as he remains consistent and solid, they'd have to get thrown in the mix. But they haven't been there before. That's the only thing that might mitigate against some long-term success for them in the playoffs. But, yes, everything I've seen of them watching them, they're very good, and they should be on that list as well.
Matt, as always, great catching up with you. We'll see you at the rink. Enjoy the game.
You got it, fellas. Thanks very much. Have a good afternoon.